I'm Brett Carter. Thanks for choosing this KAXE-KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a national public radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcasts. Become a member today at KAXE.org, and thanks for listening.
It don't matter if you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all, 'cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast.
We do have someone on What's for Breakfast, someone I know will be on the boat for opening fishing. Meadow Kaufeld joins us now. Good morning, Meadow.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You getting all ready? Getting all geared up?
Yes, I was a bit of a procrastinator, but just about everything's ready for the weekend. Looking forward to being on the boat, even though it's probably going to be cold.
So, okay, I missed the first question, of course. What did you have for breakfast?
Well, I am back to my summer health kick and having smoothies that are very boring.
They do. You can get sick of them pretty early. They start. Start tasting the same. So, what's in your smoothie this morning?
Some plain Greek yogurt, spinach, some egg whites, and frozen fruit and a little bit of orange juice.
Now, John is just freaking out here. So you can't taste the egg whites or the spinach, right? Really?
No.
Yeah. Well, don't plant that in her head. She might be able to taste the spinach. It's green, I bet, isn't it?
You know what's funny is that they start out pink, and if you let them sit long enough,
they turn
green.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So you just got to suck it down really fast, right?
Yeah, I imagine it's oxidization or something along those lines, or interaction between acids, and
so
something makes it green and taste different after a while.
Yeah. So have you already finished it?
No, it's usually a process.
Yeah, just sipping away. It's in a cup with a straw, perhaps?
No, it has a top on it. It's one of those bullet blenders. It's not a bullet blender. It's one of those upside down ones that are really aggressive. And I use it every day, actually. I'm surprised. I didn't think I would, but it's been a great blender. It's not a bullet, though. It's a different
how
brand.
How big is your cup? Is it like 10 ounces or 12 ounces or 16 ounces?
It's the big one.
Yeah, you're doing
and
16
it's at max
ounces.
Fill. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. So we've talked to Meadow many times about hunting, about the outdoors, about fishing, and this is something that runs courses through her blood along with the spinach, right? The outdoors.
Yes.
So
side by side.
Of course, you won't tell us where you're going. Is that true for opening fishing?
No. It's no secret. My boyfriend or partner's family, they've been going to Bowstring for a long time, and I go with them, so it's their big family event every year. They actually have family come up from central Minnesota.
Oh, fun!
And they have a cabin rented, and they've it's kind of a tradition. So there's a lot of folks up there, and we fish Bowstring.
Well, good for you for divulging where you're going. That's a bunch of garbage. Like, you know, is the lake gonna
fill
up?
If it was a smaller lake, it would be something else. I wouldn't have told you if it was a small unknown lake, but
please tell me Heidi Sue is going fishing.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I've got her life vest packed and her pink presidential reel in the boat, so we're good to go.
And what kind of bait you're going to use?
Likely jigs and minnows again. That's just typically the go-to, especially early season.
Shiners? Suckers?
I like the idea of shiners, but they die so easily, and we'll use shiners while they last, and then move to probably crappie minnows or large chubs.
So, Meadow, I was up cleaning up Highway 38, adopt a highway thing yesterday. I saw a dead grouse on the road. What's the story on grouse this year? How did they do with this terrible winter? Do you know?
I haven't really looked at the data as far as the temperature average and the amount of moisture or precipitation we received. But, you know, with that really cold, dry, fluffy snow, they typically do well. And grouse with a cold, dry winter, lots of good snow, they do well. You know, I've been out trying to ban some woodcock chicks, and I actually have had a lot more grouse flushes than woodcock, which is kind of par for the course, I guess. Last year was the same. But, yeah, I you know, it's going to be hard to say until hunting season. It really has been that way the last couple of years, and it seems like there might be something going on this summer during, you know, the brood rearing season. So we'll see.
So how, when one says, yeah, I go out and I band woodcock, I mean, how do you do that?
Is it running?
Yeah,
is there, you know?
Yeah, do you like throw the parents out and grab the chicks by the neck? And yeah, what do you do?
No. So I have a dog that's certified, and I'm a certified bander. I'm under a federal permit to band chicks. And woodcock are shorebirds, and most shorebirds, when they're hatched, they have nearly adult size or adult size legs, so you can band them right out of the egg, basically. And so what we do is we go, my dog and I go, and we find a woodcock. She points them, and based on the behavior of the bird, you can tell whether or not it's a broody hen or potentially a hen on a nest. And if it's a broody hen, you try and find the chicks, which is extremely difficult. They're very well blended, and go ahead and catch those chicks, and you put bands on them, and basically that band is an individual identifier. It's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service band, and anywhere that bird goes and that band is recovered, that person, whoever reports the band, can trace that information back, and we get basically, you know, migratory information and age, things along those lines for that bird.
Do mom and dad get upset at you, or are they gone, long gone?
You know, the hen usually leaves the area, but she'll come back. And it's only the hen. The male has nothing to do with the incubation period. But, you know, sometimes she'll linger and do a wing flutter display, kind of like the killdeer does, mm-hmm. to try and distract you. And so that's part of why the dog needs to be certified, because they need to be steady to flutter flush, which is a very weak attempt at flying to attract predators. And then also that ground display and any other weird behaviors. And I leash my dog as soon as she goes on point, just for safety purposes. But that is why you can't just take any old hunting dog out there.
You have a good dog?
Yeah, I do. I've got a couple actually really good dogs, but the one that's certified is a very good dog.
What are their names again?
Well, Mina is the brown Drahthar, the older female that I have that's certified, and I have Aches, which is the black Drahthar male, and we have Betty and Butch, which are both setters.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Meadow, thank you so much for calling, and we hope you have a great weekend for opening fishing and for being on What's for Breakfast.
Country Homestead Mills, excuse me, is our sponsor. And you either get Country Blend cereal or wild rice pancakes delivered right to your woodcock shelter in a cream-colored linen bag.
Well, Heidi Sue likes the pancakes.
Ah, we know what's going to win there.
Say hi to my namesake, will you?
Yeah, I will.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Thanks, Mando.
Strutting back in style. Yes, we'll be friends.